HarperCollins presents This Land of Promise, A History of Refugees and Exiles in Britain by Matthew Lockwood, read by Mark Meadows.
Prologue. The 27. On the 24th of November 2021, 27 souls disappeared in the English Channel. Despite the perils of the crossing, they had set out from Dunkirk in good spirits, 29 in all, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, all loved by someone somewhere in Iran or Iraq, Somalia or Sudan, Afghanistan or Eritrea. One of the drowned called home to let his family know they were on their way to England, his seventh attempt to reach that destination. His brother remembers hearing the sounds of laughter in the background of the phone call. It was a cold and wind-lashed day, the sort of thin autumn day when the sun struggles to make its presence known. And yet there was a buzz in the boat, a note of trepidation eventually overwhelmed by a fizzing hope that this would be the day that changed their lives forever. They knew the chill grey waters of the Channel could be unpredictable, its currents fickle, its waves treacherous, its weather suddenly mutinous, especially at this time of year. They knew the danger posed by the looming ocean liners that charged through one of the most heavily travelled waterways in the world. They knew that some did not make it. Seven had vanished already that year. Only months before, the body of a child had washed up on a beach far away in Norway, the youngest of an entire family lost at sea. But they also knew that more had made it than had perished. Some had come 4,000 miles on foot, crossing mountains and rivers and boundless plains from Afghanistan to Calais. Some had come through famine and drought in Sudan, civil war in Somalia and Ethiopia, Syria and Iraq, violence and suffering on an unimaginable scale in too many places to name. In Calais, their differences faded away. They were all refugees now. They were all in the same boat, or would be soon enough. In 2021 alone, 47,000 had attempted the crossing, of whom 7,800 had to be rescued. Seven died. Others turned back. Some were stopped within sight of shore. They would try again and again. The pull from Britain was strong. The risk seemed worth taking. After all they had faced, all they had overcome to reach the coast, there was no question of giving up. The trouble began with miles yet to go. Their boat, bought hurriedly from smugglers to avoid the attentions of the French police, could not cope with its too heavy load and began to deflate in the middle of the channel. As their dinghy foundered and the icy water began to swirl about their ankles like frozen shackles, some of the passengers called desperately for help. A young man from Somalia named Mohamed Issa Omar dialed emergency services in France and Britain. It took dozens of calls before he finally got through. The British operator asked Mohamed to send us the location, but he didn't have time to relay the information before the boat collapsed. He knew, as he later said, we didn't have a chance. They were all in the water now. Mohammed and an Iranian Kurd named Mohammad Shikha Ahmad clung to the remnants of their boat, hoping its little remaining buoyancy would see them through the waves. The rest of the party, 27 in all, had no choice but to cling to each other. They joined hands as they bobbed queasily in the chop, trying against all odds to keep each other afloat. Their backgrounds, their religions, any differences that might have once divided them, counted for little now. They were all just people, men, women and children, trying to stay alive. For hours they remained in the water, hand in hand, scanning the horizon for any sign that help was on its way. By the time assistance came, it was too late. As the hours dragged by, and the chill of the sea burrowed deep into their bones, the hands of the 27 grew weak, and their grip on each other loosened.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?